Super Ben Foster in goal.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fozcast. I have had one of the best Easter weekends of my life.
It's the best football game I've ever been to.
Genuinely, you couldn't write that any better than what that happened that day. No. The second we got to the stadium, right? I honestly don't think I've seen anything like that before.
I kind of saw you putting your hands on your head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Given a penalty. This isn't a normal penalty. The way that he put the ball down, I'm almost at this point 99% sure he's putting it either down the middle or to my right. Football, genuinely, you will never feel a better feeling.
I've never experienced anything like it.
It was just like goosebumps moment. Rob McElhenney came into the changing room. He walked in, he goes, I need to give you a kiss on the lips. And I'm just buzzing my tits off here. I don't think you'll have a better moment being the owner of a football club
ever
than what you've just watched there.
You can't beat that.
Super Ben Foster in goal.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fozcast. I have had one of the best Easter weekend of my life, excluding Good Friday, because that don't count. We got pumped 3-1. What I do want to talk about, though, is the game that we played on Easter Monday at home at the Racecourse Ground against Notts County in what was billed, lads, as the biggest non-league game in history. How mad is that?
It is mad, and it is now after the best non-league game in history.
It is hereby known 100%. As... Seba, we got Seba on
making
show
his Fozcast debut.
Hello. Seba is one of the lads, one of the team, works behind the scenes most of the time. He has got a face for behind the scenes, to be fair. And that's why I'm only joking. We love Seb, but Seb was fully enthralled and like were into this game, weren't you? You were watching at home. So this is why we got Seb on today, and we're going to get Tom on in a bit as well. Because we've got all the angles covered here, by the way. We got Seba, who was watching it at home on the television on BT. We got Tom, who is at the game watching it, and you've got me, who was actually playing the game. So yeah, we feel like we've got like a three-pronged attack. All right, we're going for it. So anyway, I want to get into the game. Some of these games, lads, by the way, when they are big ones, when they're billed and they're hyped up, they're ramped up, they don't always live up to the expectation, do they? This game delivered on absolutely everything. How good was the atmosphere, Tom?
I can't. It's the best football game I've ever been to.
Genuinely.
It is the best football game I've ever been to, comfortably.
Really?
And I've been Blues Cup final, promotions, Man United Cup final.
Premier League games all over the place.
Yeah, do you know what? I owe the non-league and the lower leagues a huge, huge apology, because I've always been Premier League boy or Championship with Wolves, and I just had no idea it was like, don't get me wrong, not every game's like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But the everything, the community, the fans... The lower league football, it's where it's at. Seb, and my eyes have been turned onto it.
I love this. Seb, talk to me about what it was like for the viewer watching it on telly at home. Did that like ring through, did it?
Well, I think the big thing was the build-up. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. Like, it felt like a Premier League game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Arsenal-Liverpool game was the day before, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And it was still bigger than that. It felt like everyone was talking about it. It was insane. Absolutely insane. On Twitter, on the social media, the numbers were just insane.
I don't think I understood the grab. I knew that obviously it's a massive game for us because I know it's a top of the table clash, and they want to beat us because they want to get on a level par with us. We obviously want to pull ahead. But I don't think I actually understood what it meant to the wider world. I didn't think there'd be that many people too interested in it.
It was televised, Ben. It was on BT Sport, and everyone was watching it.
The noise, right? When we got to the stadium, lads, All right, so I arrived at the stadium. You came with me in the car, didn't you, Tom? I got to the stadium about 1 o'clock-ish, didn't we? Just before 1 o'clock. And the second we got to the stadium, right, I could just hear noise everywhere. Like, fans were singing early doors, genuinely. So when you go into the stadium, when I go into the stadium, I go into the changing rooms, I'm with the lads. And from about 1:30 onwards, all I could hear was fans singing, because our room must be so close to the actual pitch, right? That all I can hear is fans singing, and it was ridiculous, the noise. And I'm looking around at our team, and we've got a fairly youngish team, and I'm thinking, I hope this don't get in their heads. I really do. I hope it don't get in their heads, because they've done so well this season. They've been incredible. And even the games I've played with them, they have just been like, nothing seems to faze them. They just go and attack it and have a nice time. And I thought, I hope they haven't been reading too much into this game, and I hope it doesn't affect them pressure-wise. But it wasn't the case. The first half, so I don't know about you guys, the first half, it was a bit of an edgy affair, wasn't it? It was a cagey one.
Yeah.
Teams testing each other out, but the second half, lads, fwaff.
Well, the first half, the tension, I don't know if you got it from... This is a good question. Do you feel the tension when you're a player? Because it was unbearable. Like, everyone was just on the edge of their seats.
I don't feel the tension like that. All I see is the players being a bit tense. I don't feel the actual tension of what the match means. I can see that there's players that the tension has affected them. And I just want to... I've had it all through my career where I just want to shake them and go... Just play football the way that you're best at playing football because you're a wicked footballer. So don't let this affect you. Do you know what I mean? But when you're out on the pitch, it's so hard to do because you've just got to leave them to it.
Yeah. And what about you, Sebby? So like when tell us who you watched it with at home and stuff, and how was your nerves before the game?
Well, it was funny because I was at home on my own. So I was I wasn't home. My girlfriend was hungover at the time in the other room. Shock.
Having a nice time.
Becky. Yeah,
Becky. I was literally like, I'm going to watch this game. She's like, oh, what are you watching? I was like, oh, Ben's playing. I'm like, oh yeah, cheers. Thanks for keeping up with me. But the craziest thing was like everyone I knew was watching it.
Yeah.
Like even if you weren't a Wrexham fan or you've never watched non-league, like all my mates, all my family, my dad, who's like a massive Leicester fan, never watches anything other than Leicester, was watching it.
Yeah.
Just everyone I knew. So I watched on my own. But that first half was like, it was really weird because Notts County and Wrexham just play so differently.
Yeah, complete opposite, isn't it?
So like, you just didn't know what was going to happen.
This is why I think the game was so good. I honestly do. I think this is the two teams' style of play. Like, they are so opposite each other, it's ridiculous. But it makes for the most interesting and the most intriguing game of football possible because they play such a high line. I've never seen a team play such a high line as that before.
It was ridiculous.
It was outrageous.
Like, at one point, you were going... You're going to score 7 today.
Yeah.
But it just didn't happen.
They were so good at keeping that high line, but all together, you know,
They were.
And there were a lot of things that, like, so in that first half then, okay, Seb, you're watching at home and you know all the offsides that were given.
Yeah.
Were they all offside?
Yeah.
All of them?
It was so annoying to watch because I think there was 6 offside calls and I would say 5 of them confidently I could say
we're offside on, yeah
we're, no we're onside.
Oh, you are joking.
Really?
I think the ref in the first half was
like, the lino got him wrong.
Yeah,
then
100%.
See, we can't see this, so from where we are, right, for me as a goalie, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm going, oh my god, lads, they're playing a high line, you haven't got to be offside. You can literally leave it another second and you'd still be far and away. If you've got a run on a defense that's a high line, you're in. Do you know what I mean? So we're all fuming, basically.
It was really odd. And I think it was like the replays, even the commentators were like quiet about it because they were like...
I'll tell you what though, genuinely, that was the thing that was getting the crowd tense.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like getting, oh my God. And like even to the point where it was so high, it was the halfway line.
Crazy.
Right? And I was, because Paul Mullen was just relentless. And what I love about him, he doesn't let it bother him.
Hello.
He just goes and goes and goes again. But there was one point where I was going, like, thinking to myself, why don't you just start your run in your own half?
Because even curve your run a bit.
In your own half, because you can't be offside in your own half,
no,
can
for
you?
Sure, yeah.
And it was so high, I was like, it's 2 yards difference.
Yeah.
So it was bonkers.
This is what I'm saying. The pace that we've got, even Ollie Palmer, he's fast. When he gets going, he's fast. Yeah. Insane. Paul Mullen is rapid. So you can almost run along the back line and then curve your thing because you've got a head of steam and you'd still get in there. Let's take it back a little bit though, yeah? I want to talk about the prep for the game, my prep for the game. And this is why I think I didn't sort of have time to really read into this game too much. You know, I never really do anyway, to be perfectly honest. Don't get me wrong, I'll be aware of who we're playing and I'm aware of the threats, all that kind of stuff. But once I finish training on a Friday afternoon, I will not think about the game until it kicks off on a 3 p.m. the next day. It's as simple as that.
Well,
yeah?
You had a Friday game, which was obviously a bad result away at Halifax.
Yeah,
which,
so good Friday. We played away at Halifax. We got beat 3-1.
And that was just
a horrible performance.
One of those games. But,
yes.
But when you're in a 46-game season in a competitive league and you've lost 2 games all season, you're just going to get one.
For sure. You're going to get it.
And it was one of those days where it was just one of
Everybody
those days.
Everybody just looked a bit tired. It is what it is.
Was it one of them scenarios that when you lost that, it was just like, right, forget about it. We've got a game on Monday. We need to focus
you
on
have
now.
To. Yeah, you have to, Seb.
Just forget about it.
You have to, Seb. You have to do exactly that, right? So I personally think I'm incredible at doing this. Yeah, I will just, it's like, I won't even think about it until the game actually kicks off the next game. I won't think about it whatsoever. So the Sunday, the day before the game, Tom, you actually came down to the hotel we were staying at. out, and my brother came down as well. And they were going to come to the game. So I said to him, listen, why don't we play a bit of golf, yeah? So come down, the hotel I'm staying at's got some lovely golf courses. We can play 9 holes of golf, yeah? Nothing too taxing. We got a buggy. So I played 9 holes of golf, got a buggy, had a little like wander around the course and that. And then it was Masters Sunday. So we just literally went into the bedroom, didn't we, all of us? We just like got a nice little like sweetie bit, whatever. Put the golf on, and that was us until, we actually conked out at about 11-ish, didn't we? Yeah, we got to about 11-ish. Just chatting, watching. It was so good, honestly. We got a bit of room service. It was just beautiful. It was lovely. Then woke up Monday morning, had some breakfast, room service breakfast again, and then that was it. It was just like head to the game. But even then, I'm not thinking about the game. I don't think about it too much. I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Instagram, I'm not looking at anything, not reading into it. I've got to admit, it wasn't until the game kicked off that I thought, yeah, this is proper
I want to hear about Phil Parkinson team talk and that, Ben. Like in my head, and this might be my age with like old manager stuff, I envisage a manager shouting, come on, lads, we've got this big game. What was Phil's approach and how did it go down?
Yeah, so Phil's approach was, it was very sensible, to be perfectly honest with you. So obviously 3 days prior, we'd lost on the Friday to Halifax, away at Halifax, and it wasn't a Wrexham performance. It really wasn't. It was just low energy, low intensity. And in all honesty, Halifax, they just wanted it more than us. And that's the most disappointing part, right? And that's what all he said, basically. He said, listen, lads, Friday, he says, that's not even you. That's unrecognisable. That's not you. He says, today is about strapping it back on again and just doing it properly. Do you know what I mean? You have to be giving it absolutely hell for leather today, because there's going to be 10,500 fans in this stadium, and they are going to want to see you give everything you've got. The owners are here. The world is watching. The television crew are here. BT Sports, all that. You need to be putting on a show today, lads. And this is a bit here, like I say, where I thought, I'm thinking, we've got some younger players. Like, I hope this doesn't affect them a little bit. I really do. I hope it doesn't affect them. So that was the team talk. And everybody was just like, yeah, damn right. You know, we need to basically say sorry to our fans that came to Wrexham, because we took 4,500 fans. You know, it was bonkers, wasn't it? You came to that game as well.
Ridiculous.
The fans were out. I'll put it out there. I think the Wrexham fans, I've never heard noise like it. I've never heard a noise like it. That away fans at Halifax were ridiculous. The home fans on Monday were ridiculous. The atmosphere that they build up, Seba, is just like, I honestly don't think I've seen anything like that before.
I think we were talking earlier about how sometimes I think we forget it's non-league.
Yeah.
Like fifth tier of football in any other country.
No, there is. You're getting a few hundred.
You're amateur. You're par.
Well, you're getting 50 people coming, like, to watch.
4,500
away fans. Yeah. We had another sellout, 10,500. Yeah. We've got one stand missing and we're still selling out at 10,500 fans. Yeah. Tickets were an absolute nightmare to get hold of, honestly. An absolute nightmare to get hold of. So, yeah, like I say, the game kicked off and... We knew it was a big deal. We did. We could all feel that it was a big deal. And I think the first half played a little bit like that, to be fair. It was a bit of an edgy affair. There weren't too many chances. Obviously, we're keeping on trying to break that high line and get people in behind. And it nearly happened a few times. There were a couple ones where the goalie, like the goalkeeper, Sam Slocum for Notts County.
He had a really good game.
He's a good goalie, mate, proper goalie. And he has to play a real high line. He's a proper sweeper keeper, yeah? And he has to be on his toes because he knows that high line, if they exploit it, so balls over the top, he has to try and run out and snuff out all the time. There were a couple ones where it was like 50-50, weren't it?
Yeah.
And he's just managed to
timed
it really well. But we knew it was close. We knew we were close to scoring a goal. And then they get a free kick into injury time in the first half. And it's John Bostock. And I know John Bostock's got quality. Back in the day, he got a move. I used to be at Tottenham, Palace, that sort of thing. So I know he's a quality player. So when I see him about to take this free kick, I'm thinking, oh, this is like... For a free kick taker, for somebody who's actually quite good at it, so if this was James Ward-Prowse, for example, the fact that it was about 26, 27 yards out, it's about the perfect distance, yeah? Mm-hmm. You don't want it any closer than that because you're going to struggle to get it up and over the wall. You don't want it too far away because it just gets a bit more difficult. It was quite literally about the most perfect distance, and I thought, oh, I don't like
that. And do you know what?
This.
In the stand, it was, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, the timing of it, I just knew it was going to go in.
Really?
I just knew it. And everyone around me was a bit like that as well.
Yeah.
And it was like, it led to half time and it was a bit like...
Oh, it was a sucker punch.
Shit.
Yeah. It was a proper punch
but
in the gut.
It was like shit.
Yeah, it was a punch in the gut, right? And it... me personally, I was just like, oh, come on, don't do that. But basically, one of the last kicks of the first half, yeah. it was gutting. And to go in at half time like that is never a nice feeling, mate, because you've done, like I say, 46, 7 minutes of everybody giving it a go and you're on level terms. And then for that to happen, it's just a bit like, oh, God's sake, here we go. So this is where it comes to all the senior players, the manager, the assistant manager, all them to try and pick the players up and be like, lads, you've been really good that first half, yeah? Don't worry about that goal going in. You don't need to think about that. You did really well. A goal's coming. It's as simple as that.
Is that what the gaffer said at halftime?
Yeah, literally that.
So it was calm, yeah. Stay calm, it'll come type.
Yeah, exactly that. Stay calm, just keep doing what you're doing and it will come. It's as simple as that. We've been so close on so many occasions. And one of the things he said as well was that, on the Friday game against Halifax, we went in 1-0 up at halftime, right? We went in 1-0 up at halftime and we were playing well. We were on top. We knew we were the better team. Yet they came out and beat us 3-1 at full time. So the second half, they scored 3 goals, beat us 3-1. And so he said, lads, you were quite literally in the opposite of this position on Friday. You went in 1-0 and you lost 3-1. So there's nothing to say you can't get in here 1-0 down and go out and win this game. You can do it. It's as simple as that.
As a senior player at half time in that scenario, like what are you doing? Because obviously the manager's giving his team talk and stuff, but there's 15 minutes, right? Yeah. So in terms of what are you doing with the younger players and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's exactly what I have to do is go around those young players. So I'll be just patting people on the back, basically going, well done, you keep going, brilliant. I'll try and remember a few things they might have done well in that first half and go, you remember when you did that? That was class, mate. Just keep doing that. That's wicked. Like, do you know what I mean? I'll just keep going around the whole team. It could be Paul Mullen. I'll be saying the same thing. Mate, you're going to get in a minute. That one a minute ago, when the goalie just got there, next time that's dropping to you, mate. So that's all we do. And all the senior players will always do that anyway. That's how halftime team talk went.
What did Sebby, what were you doing at halftime? Making a brew? What's the halftime routine?
I got a sandwich.
Sandwich?
It's
going to be really. He loves a little bit.
How can you say? Oh no, it's a sandwich.
Because you know what it's going to be. Go on. It was a bagel.
Smoked salmon and cream cheese.
Is that your go-to?
Wow.
It was fantastic.
You're posh, you are.
Yeah. Well, Seb's
coming to the game soon, but he wants to sit in the director's box.
Sandwiches.
I have requested that, by the way. That's quite important.
Second half kicked off. Are we swapping out Seb at this
we'll
point?
Swap. So
swapping
swap.
Out.
Second half.
We've got new guests for the second half. Tom Norris, Norris.
Well done, Seb.
Seb, for your debut, yeah. I thought you absolutely smashed that.
Well done.
Proud of you.
You get your
really,
cap
really
first
good.
Cap in the post.
My God, you got some sweaty hands.
Wow,
on,
you
mate.
Have Jesus.
I'm always,
you're nervous.
Always sweaty, yeah. You know. this is a crossover.
Well done, Seb. You broke your virginity really, really gently there.
I reckon a lot of our viewers will recognise this guy.
This guy's a bit of a podcast legend anyway,
Get
isn't
in
he?
The comments if you know Tom Norris.
Super Tom Norris. Right, Super Tom Norris. You started that then, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, because I was watching it on my phone. I was fascinated and I had the privilege maybe of seeing social media and seeing what other people were saying as well about the match. So I didn't get to see the full first half. But then I got a lot of people saying, obviously you're not going to badmouth any teammates, but for the free kick, were you disappointed about the wall maybe not jumping? Would that have made much of a difference?
I don't really want them to jump anyway. I don't like my walls jumping.
Because all the comments were basically saying, why didn't they jump?
Is that because of one underneath?
You know, I'm not worried about that necessarily so much, but I want them to, I expect them to sort of go up on their tiptoes almost. Yeah. I want them to go up on their tiptoes. It was a good free kick.
I think
even if they jump, they're probably not going to get it, to be fair to him. He's a good free kick taker. And we watched some clips the day
first
before.
Goal for them as well.
Yeah, we watched some clips and he can tell he's a bit of a cultured footballer. So like I say, as soon as he stood up, I thought, I don't like the look of this. Yeah. I really don't like
just
the look
added,
of this.
It's narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's literally perfect. Like, so I'll come on to it in a bit, but we after the game, we were saying you couldn't write that script any better than what that happened that day.
No.
You really couldn't write it any better. So second half, okay, so let's talk about the second half, because this is for me where this game just came alive. Like, it came alive, like
it,
you wouldn't believe.
It was the most important thing was an early goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Early goal in the second half, just the crowd went up. And
up-ski.
It was, the tension was not gone, but it just put everyone at ease.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. So I think as players as well, it puts everybody at ease, because as soon as you get back onto a level footing, you're like, this game's in the balance again. if we want to go for this, we can win this game. And I think that's it's at that moment where we went, no, we're going to go and win this game. And we went on the front foot and we just kept doing what we were doing and we were getting a bit more success. And then people start believing a bit more then as well.
Yeah, not just to echo what you guys were saying earlier, though, like in that kind of game, it wouldn't be out of the question just to kind of hoof the ball and hope.
No.
Both teams just playing football, lovely, passing it around, passing from the back.
I've got to say, Notts County, right? They would be at home playing that style of football in anywhere in the football league pyramid, I promise you. They could play League One, Championship, League Two. Honestly, even with like five, 3 or 4 minutes to go, we put the ball in their corner, by their corner flag, and they still, they'll never boot it. It's not what they do. They don't play that style of football. They won't boot it. They got out playing this lovely little intricate triangles, got it back to the goalkeeper and went out the other side. And I'm watching thinking, that's not National League. That's like Premier League Championship
level.
Even
Prem teams would have just hoofed
it. No chance. Yeah, all the Prem teams I played in would hoof that.
Yeah.
You are hoofing the life out of that.
And if we're kind of 2-3 weeks in advance here, but if Notts County don't go up via the playoffs, which if they don't finish first, I hope they do go up.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Me too.
They are a really good football team. The fans were brilliant.
Incredible.
And you'd feel so sorry for them if they didn't go up. Nozza, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as I said, the quality of play, I was so impressed. And like, it's such a good advert for the league. But yeah, as I said, teams that you said previously you play for, they wouldn't be doing that at that time.
No chance.
With such high stakes, it's still just cool, calm,
but
collected.
even when they would get corners, they'd get corners with minutes to go. And they would still not just put it in the box. They're playing it short and doing what they do. They play a style of football and they stick to it religiously. So yeah, so anyway, so like I say, 1-1 equalised, everybody back level, boom, we're on a level footing here, lads. We can go and do this, right? Then we go and get the second goal. 20 minutes to go, the second goal goes in. And I remember it going in, looking at the clock, thinking, we can hold 20 minutes.
Who scored the second? Was it Jacob Mendy?
Yeah, Jacob Mendy. Incredible finish. Fantastic finish.
He's my man of the
match.
Mullin's pass.
Yeah, Mullin's pass. Paul Mullin was just a joke, by the way. His pass. He set up 2 or 3 chances where he was been so unselfish, didn't he?
Oh,
and he just laid it off nicely. Yeah. And it, it's
so just, I always thought, he's kind of a striker, you know, just head down,
nah,
shoots.
Mate,
no,
calmness.
No, no, no.
Super calm. So lays a ball across for Jacob Mendy. Fantastic finish. 20 minutes to go. Come on, lads. We can hold on. We can hold on. 20 minutes. And then the goal that we conceded, my God. Yeah. In between that, I had a couple little bits and bobs to do, a couple saves to make, because obviously Notts County are going to go on the front foot.
What about your hairy moment when you tried to clip it to the fullback?
Yeah, I blame the pitch for this. Yeah, it's a little bit bibbly bobbly, all right?
At that point, I don't know what people around me thought. I went, for fuck's sake, Ben.
And stop messing about.
Like, we were sat there with Kate and I went, he always says, they can't score from Rose Ed. And I was like thinking, Jesus Christ, I sound like his dad or something.
It could have been a very different story, couldn't it?
If that woman got in, that would have been egg on your face moment. That would have been horrible. Thankfully, it came to nothing.
Sorry for mentioning that.
No, it's fine, mate. I don't mind.
This
is it
a good news
is.
Podcast.
Yeah, this is football for you. It don't always go according to plan, does it? So yeah, then their goal that they scored, it was such a poor goal to concede as well, because it was such a basic cross, but just not picking up at the back post. Free header.
He took it well.
Yeah, he took it really well. Put it back across me. I tried to cover my near post. He put it back over there. It was a good finish, to be fair to him. But that's it's a sucker punch again. It's like, come on, lads, you should know better than to just leave him unmarked at the back post. So 2-2. And then again, Paul Mullin, just sort of calmness.
Yeah, I thought he definitely was going to shoot. Oh, little pass.
Exactly that. So calm. He could have just lashed at it and smacked it. Goalkeeper had a great position, but laid it off to Elliot Lee, and so it was a fantastic finish.
4 goals in 4 games for
Elliot Lee. Yeah, oh mate, what a player, by the way. Class. Honestly, what a player in midfield for our level. He is just—he's head and shoulders above any of the midfielders.
What about
in
the centre half turning into absolute fucking prime Pelé? Though
I know, yeah,
like
taking. I know.
Who was it?
Was it
O'Connell?
He passed it to himself.
Oh, yeah. The ball over the top. He played his own pass and ran onto it. Yeah, Owen. Yeah,
Owen.
Yeah.
What a fucking piece of play!
It was incredible.
Jimmy Grimble.
Like,
yeah.
I think it was.
I was like genuinely in the stand. People were like expecting him to be offside. Like, who's he passing it to? Himself?
Yeah. But he was like fucking Neymar, and nobody ran. And I think even he stopped for a split second and then went, I'll just keep going then.
It was mad,
ran onto it. It was not enough has been said about this, to be fair.
That
I'm
was
gonna,
unbelievable.
I'm going to buzz off him on Thursday when
and
I say.
And you know
what
he said to me after the game? He walked past him. We said hello and that, and he went, tell your mate he'll never have to buy a pint in Cork ever again.
Oh, that's big, that is.
And I was like, what a legend.
What a legend.
What a thing. But these moments, just all these little moments of memories and stuff were amazing.
I know, it felt like one of those games where you just like, it. You know, when the game just gets taken away, it's just narrative and it's something that's going to happen. There's no way it was going to end 3-all. It couldn't end 3-all. The energy with it, it wasn't. And then the penalty,
There had to be something more. There had to be something special.
It felt like I didn't want it to be. I was like, no penalty.
When the penalty got given, so obviously we're 3-2 up now and we're in deep into injury time. And Notts County, fair play to them. They are just knocking on the door. They're literally just passing it about 25 yards outside of my goal and they're just passing it around, just looking for a little opening, trying to play these little through balls. And to be fair, the lads in front were just incredible, like blocking everything, tackling everything, clearing, slashing, all that. And then they put a ball into the box and Big Owen's gone to sort of block it, but he's left his arm up in the air. And to be fair to him, even Owen said it was probably a penalty.
It looked like it in the stand.
Yeah.
But there was a delay and no one knew what was going on. And then I kind of saw you putting your hands on your head.
Yeah.
And I was like, looked at the ref, any point, and I was like, oh, shit.
He's given a penalty.
And the crowd didn't realise, everyone was going, what's going on? Is it a penalty? And it was a penalty.
Well, now it's so used to VAR, you just kind of felt like, oh, shit, no, it's no VAR. Yeah, they wouldn't have seen it, it'll be fine. Yeah. They did see it.
What was it like watching the telly then at this moment in time? Is everybody like buzzing off it at this moment?
Yeah, it's buzzing away, but then it's just like, it's so tense. And they're like, it's weird having invested interest with you being in goal as well, because you never really, I don't know, you're not always constantly thinking about the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
like,
I want you to do well.
So it's every cross, I'm like, just grab it.
Then, just get hold of it.
And then you're wincing away, and like, oh, it's not long left, they can just get it out there. And suddenly it was like, oh, no. And then I was just like,
So we were around the referee and we were all like, ref, come on. I think I even said to him, I felt a bit bad for it afterwards, actually. I said, ref, I know it's on telly, but it's not about you.
No, you didn't. I think I did.
I know it's on telly, but it's not about you, ref, all right? And I'm thinking, oh, don't say that.
Did he say anything to you back?
No, he was just like, Ben, it's a penalty. I let it play for 10 seconds. So once a handball happened, he carried on play for about 10 seconds and then he blew his whistle. And he said, no, I let it play. I had to think about it, but it's handball, right? And
Fair play to him.
And it was a massive decision. To make that decision at that moment in time, in that last minute of that game, of such a big game, takes massive, massive cojones. And he, to be fair to him, he stood up to it and he owned it. And it was handball. Even Owen said, yeah, it was probably handball.
It'll be good if he said, awesome. It's also on Disney, Ben.
Yeah.
Absolute big time prem player. What a scumbag.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What a scumbag.
I didn't swear at him at least. I just said, ref, come on. But I was so gutted for the lads, honestly. Like at this moment in time, I'm, as a goalie and a penalty gets given, there's no pressure on me. Honestly, there's no pressure attached to me whatsoever. However, for the striker, this is a massive pressurized moment. Seriously pressurized moment. He knows that if he scores this goal, Notts County has still got a chance. They've got a chance of winning the league. It's as simple as that.
Are they in the box seat? Were they?
They'd have been three points ahead, but we've got a game in hand. So it would have been a massive problem for us.
And they had a slightly better goal difference.
But the confidence they'd have got from this would have been huge. They would have been... a last-minute goal like that to nick a draw is like a win, basically. Yeah. You're away at your rivals and you nick a last minute. It's almost like you come off that pitch buzzing so hard. Their fans are buzzing so hard. They would take that momentum into the next four games that they've got for the rest of the season. It's massive, honestly. So, yeah, penalty gets given. And do you know what? Like, do you know what I remember thinking? So I need to talk about the way that we sort of analyse penalties. So we've always got like an analysis sheet of which way players are most likely to go. And there's an analyst at Wrexham called Kyle, and he looks at all their penalties and he will do basically a very quick like chart of the players' names that might take the penalty, and it will say right, left, centre, right, whatever it is, right? And for this player in particular, he had him to go to my right, okay? Which is actually the way that he went. So when it comes to these sort of moments, I think 96th minute, analysis goes out the window, lads. It has to go out the window because this isn't a normal penalty. It's not. This is where your inner kind of like, do you know
instinct.
What I mean? Instinct just will take over and you do whatever comes most comfy and most natural to you. And there's a massive stat out there with penalties that most of the time in pressure penalties, they either go down the middle or they go to the goalkeeper's right, yeah? Because it's the easier kick to kick, right?
If they're right footers.
If they're right footers.
Is that because they're kind of in it to the goal and then basically on the inside of their foot?
It's curling away from the goalie as well.
It's a safer bet, right?
Yeah, it's a safer bet. It's an easier kick to execute, right? So that's a stat. So that's always in my head forever. Every penalty for the last 20 years, that's always in my head. But the way that he put the ball down and then his body position when he stood and was waiting to take the penalty, I thought, there's no way you can put this to my left. There is just no way. Your body is too closed off. Do you know what I mean? His body is too tight to the ball that if he's going to try and put it that way to my left, he has to open his hip up almost and open his foot up. And in the 96th minute, you don't want that pressure. No. You want to put your foot through it.
He even readjusted it, didn't he?
Exactly that. Like, oh. So the wind blew the ball off the spot, yeah? So again, probably something you couldn't pick up on television, right? It was blowing a gale, Tom. Mm. It was blowing such a gale, right? And it was horrible. And the ball got blown off the spot. So it looked like he was about to go and take it. And then he had to just walk up, grab the ball. Happens. Yeah, he had to grab the ball and put it back on the spot again.
That would have been horrible.
That gets in your head. Even that gets in your head. Mate, so
at this point, the crowd were beside themselves.
Oh, beside
the groan. Did you hear the groan?
Yeah.
When he replaced it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the replays, you can hear it go, oh. He's re-spotted it. And I'm thinking, wow, this is, yeah. Oh, I can think he's feeling the pressure. He surely got to be feeling the pressure here.
Are you in your head thinking how big a moment this is? Or are you just in the moment and it's, or what, do you know how?
No, important? You don't think of anything like that.
Do you not think, if I save this, it's going to be fucking... Oh,
I am the gosh, boy.
No.
I'm
no the boy. No chance. I want to save it for the lads on the pitch. And I know that we will get 3 points. That's all I think. But I don't think about... You don't have time or you don't think about anything else other than... Oh, I hope I can save it to out the lads out so we've got a win. Do you know what I mean? Because it would have felt like a loss to us. It would have. If they had scored that goal, it would have felt like a loss. I'm almost at this point 99% sure he's putting it either down the middle or to my right. And what I agree with the goalie coach is, before the games, I say to him, listen, when they get a penalty, I'll look at you, and he's got the sheet in front of him, like the cheat sheet almost, and he will either give me a right hand for my right, a left hand for my left, or... That, like basically arm down the middle, he's going to go down the middle, right? And I didn't even look at him. Honestly, I didn't even look at him, right?
His bonus retracted.
Yeah, no, no. But as a goalie, you have to sometimes just go with your instincts. Do you know what I mean? You have to read the situation, analyze it a little bit. And that's exactly what it was. And I was like, nah, he's either going to put it down the middle or to my right. And I just thought, I just hope he don't go down the middle, because no goalie wants to just stand in the middle, right? You just don't.
Well, didn't you say as well that the GoPro had a bearing in
that? That's where the GoPro was as well. The GoPro was in that right corner. And I don't know whether it's what I don't know what it is, but I kind of thought, I wonder if he'd just want to put it on the GoPro.
Oh,
hit it that side.
So you thought psychologically, would he want to stick it GoPro side?
I'm not saying but it might be just something to aim at. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like having anything in my goal, really, like a towel or a bottle or anything like that, because I just think sometimes it might be something for them to aim at, especially from a penalty. So I thought, yeah, everything added up, I'm going to my right. It's as simple as that. So he took a bit of a slow run up, right, where I think he was just looking at me. He was looking at if I made the first move or something. I thought, nah, mate, I'm just going to wait for you to get your head down so you can't see me anymore. And then I'm going full pout to my left, my right-hand side. Simple as that. So, as soon as he put his head down and he's taking that final kick, just pushed off with everything I've got to my right-hand side. And as I'm diving, I'm thinking, he's going that way. He is going that way. Oh, my gosh. And then you just pray that he don't put it high. Because if he puts it high, he'll score.
It was a great pen as well.
It was a really good penalty. He slapped it. He gave it good pace. It's in the corner.
It was not
it's
an easy
in
save.
In the corner.
That is one of those penalties where it's not a penalty missed. It's a penalty save.
Yeah, it's a penalty save for sure. It's not a bad penalty.
Fucking inflate your ego anymore, but it was a fucking brilliant save.
It
was a brilliant save.
So this is how I saved it then, yeah. So I've saved it with my right hand. But my top hand, because I'm just jumping full spread. I'm jumping full spread because in the back of my head as well, I'm thinking maybe he might put it high. So I might have to go with my top hand and make a bit of a top answer. So I basically dive with two arms, like straight out. And as I've saved it with my right hand, my left hand's come over the top and sort of swatted it away again. Yeah. So it was like two-handed save sort of thing, which I was buzzing with.
Double save.
But yeah, double save, yeah. So as soon as I've sort of swatted it away and I see that it bounces that that way out, and I think, well, that's about to go out for a corner. I don't celebrate saves. I never do. I never celebrate a penalty save, no matter what it is, right? But I have also never saved a penalty in the 96th minute. I've never done this before, right? Never, ever, ever. Especially one with such sort of magnitude attached to it as well, and what it means to the team and the supporters and the fans in the stadium. And I couldn't help myself but give a little punch. Like,
well, I did notice that. I didn't notice that, but I did notice the players coming up to you and you were batting them off. Were you saying like, What were you saying?
Basically, so yeah, I had a little moment where I punched the, and I remember even doing it and punching the air and going, get in there, and thinking, don't do that, you dickhead. Don't do that.
I mean, it's understandable.
No, but I know, but I shouldn't do it though.
Nah,
I
shouldn't.
Because they've got a corner now.
Yeah, I know, but
they've got a corner.
If they scored that, you look like a
mark. They've got a corner now, so the lads are jumping on me, but Notts County do everything fast. Everything, whether it's a throw-in, a free kick, a quick free kick, it could be no matter what it is, a corner especially, they'll do it quick because they know that they've got seconds left. So they're going to be putting that ball in within seconds, right? And then that last free kick they had, there must have been about 10 seconds left from that moment.
The penalty,
From the corner. They must have had 10 seconds left. And that was the only corner they did where they put it direct into the box, right? It's the only one they did all game long. And they put it in, we headed it clear.
It got flicked.
My fucking heart was in my mouth. So it got flicked on. I think it was Elliot Lee next to me here. He's headed it back off the line. And then somebody's headed it again. And it's come to Paul Mullen, who's flicked it on the edge of the box to flick it away. And that's when the full-time whistle went. And as soon as that full-time whistle went, we must have had a 30-second period there from saving the penalty to the full-time whistle where football genuinely... You will never feel a better feeling ever, ever, ever in the history of your playing career. I promise you, you'll never have two better feelings in a 30-second period than that right there. It was just like goosebumps moment. Phenomenal it was, wasn't it?
What did you do at final whistle, Naz?
I was just, it's like the end of Truman Show where they're just clapping and going, men. I was buzzing. I was just couldn't believe it. I was like, you couldn't write it the way it was.
No, you couldn't, could you?
And it's just I was absolutely buzzing. It's such a story. And as I said, it's such a good advert for the league.
But yeah, it is a good advert.
I've just never experienced anything like it. Genuinely, and I mean this, there were people around me and there were people going mad. There were people crying.
Yeah,
It was just bonkers. I've never experienced anything like it. And it was like, I walked down like the steps to kind of go towards the front to see more and like random people were hugging me and hugging each other. And it was just like...
It's so nice how you can get lost for those few minutes, isn't it? Like everybody just gets lost. It doesn't matter who you are, you're getting hugged by some random.
I will never be in that position. Never have been, never will be. I don't know how, I can't comprehend how your feeling will trump mine.
Yeah.
Because for me,
it was the best.
I didn't take the fucking penalty.
Yeah.
But I that was the absolute euphoria.
As soon as the full-time whistle went, that was it. The lads were just like, I didn't even know what to do, to be honest with you. I didn't know what to do because I just had everybody grabbing me and hugging me and squeezing me. And my head was like down here.
Don't injure him.
People are just on me. Like Mark
Howard
came and like proper rugby tackled me, like grabbed me on the floor. And I'm just like rolling around going, oh my God.
He said, I fucking love you, didn't he?
I love you. I love you.
I've only known you 2 weeks.
Do you know what was really nice though, right? So on the pitch, like all the groundsmen were on the pitch straight away, like trying to repair and stuff like that. And we're all celebrating and that, but the groundsmen, they're all like old boys. They've probably all been working there for 30, 40 years or something. And they were there when I was there 18 years ago when I first signed for Wrexham. And for them, it must mean so much to see that. Do you know what I mean? Because Wrexham have been in the Football League now out of the Football League for 15 years. So for them, that must have been a massive, massive moment. So I remember going around every one of them and I could see how happy they were. And I was like, get in there. And like, you give every one of the groundsmen a hug because they're the ones that have probably been through more than most. Do you know what I mean?
All of the staff, like you go to a big club and you know, you've got multiple people in the media team, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of left my bag in the media office and went to go and get it after the game. First person I saw was Amy, the videographer, and I've met her twice.
Yeah.
And we are hugging.
Yeah,
right?
It was class, isn't it?
Tom runs the TikTok and like I've gone over, seen him, and he's just come and give me a massive bear hug. And it, like, everybody is just
everybody
in it
associated
together.
With the club is a massive Wrexham fan. You can see how much it means to him. But then you get so much more from people when they're so fully invested. Honestly, though, it just meant so much to every single person there.
But I'd argue as well, like, a lot of people now, Wrexham probably is their second club as well.
Yeah,
a lot
I totally
of people.
Agree.
Massively.
And the joy, like, you know, feeling watching it and being like, this, like, oh, come on, like, buzzing. Yeah. I'm sure, like, a load of people in the country were absolutely, and all over in different countries as well, absolutely buzzing with it.
One thing I want to ask you, because I've never seen you do this. So this was at the start of the match, right? And I did think, he's fucking fired up for this one. Is as you walked out towards your goal, you, like, cheered up the crowd.
You whipped
up the crowd.
Yeah, it's good. Did
before the game. Right?
I never do that.
You did a mullen.
Yeah, you did. And I said to Kate, never seen him do that before.
No, he's I've never done that before. I was banged
why,
up for it.
Why?
Why?
Just emotion took over.
Yeah, I think it just took over. Because, like, the fans behind that goal are outrageous, mate. They are outrageous. And if you give them any excuse to get any louder, they will love it. They are all over it, honestly. They will sing their hearts out. And that's all they ever do. They just go absolutely wild for 90 minutes every single game. So I was like, nah, this means something proper. And I remember doing it, and it lifted it again.
It did. You could hear the roar.
Lifted it again, and I was thinking, "Whoa, yeah, this is proper. This gives you goosebumps." That
oh, mate.
Stuff does.
So, right. At what point did you encounter Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds after the match?
So I had to do media quickly straight away. Me and Paul Mullen on the pitch for BT Sports, doing a few interviews and that, and then went into the change rooms, and all the lads were in the change room. So I walked in, and everybody straight away, like, round of applause, Fozzie, ah, you're the man, and everybody's hugging again and all that kind of. It was lovely. So we're all just sort of sat there, just basically just everyone's a bit tired and a bit worn out, like, probably sort of emotionally more than, you know, energy wise sort of thing. Everybody was just zapped. So we're all just, like, recounting funny things. And do you remember you did this? You remember that? And it's like, it's nice. It's class. It's so nice. And then people start filtering off. People might have to go and do an ice bath or a bit of stretching or physio and stuff. So there was probably about half a dozen people in the changing rooms. And I was just sat there, and I remember looking at my phone. It was just blowing up on it. I mean, blowing up sort of thing. WhatsApp messages, like, there were 70 of them or something like that. I had like messages on Instagram, Twitter, like I've never seen before. And I had so many messages of people who were like, I haven't spoke to an age, and I was saying, oh, that's so nice. Like, really, when Sean Dyche texted me, for example.
Brilliant.
Malky Mackay used to be like, I was at Watford with people I haven't spoke to for a long, long time, just messaging saying, Fozzie, that was incredible, mate. Buzzing for you. Well done.
Aaron Ramsdale, like, Rambo, that made me smile.
There were so many, mate. Mika Richards putting posts on. Everybody. Oh, yeah, it was so nice.
Rambo,
so,
called the save, didn't he?
Yeah,
of course he did. GK Union. Of course he did, Rambo.
So, yeah, it was lovely, to be fair. So, yeah, like I say, it was about probably half an hour after the full-time whistle. And then Rob McElhenney came into the changing rooms, and he walked in, he goes, and he just looked straight at me over there, and he goes, I need to give you a kiss on the lips. And I'm just buzzing my tits off here. I'm just, like, laughing my head off. And he quite literally grabs my cheeks and goes, mwah, plants the biggest kiss, and, like, holds it for it. I'm like, get off. Like, and he's like, no, he's fully kissing my mouth, right?
There,
and I'm just, like, laughing my head off kind of thing. And he was like, that was incredible. And, like, he is genuinely, he's amped.
Pumped.
Like, he is pumped like you wouldn't believe. Like, that was incredible. And I went, honestly, I don't think you'll have a better moment being the owner of a football club
ever
than what you've just watched there.
You can't beat that.
I don't think you'll ever have a better moment, honestly. I said, that's as good as it gets, mate. That is as good as it gets.
Imagine if he sells it now.
Yeah.
After that, okay, I'm done.
All right, sound. I'll just sell it then, sound. But yeah, so he was in the change rooms for 10, 15 minutes with all the lads. They were coming in and out, and he was doing the same thing to everybody, basically, just hugging the life out of them, just buzzing off so much. And then, so I went and got showered then, and then I went and went out. And as I'm walking out of the change room, Ryan Reynolds was walking in, same thing. He was just like, Fuzzy! And he just grips you so hard, and he's hugging you, and, like, he just buries his head in my chest for a minute. Yeah, like, he's just so happy, nuzzles, and he's just like, oh! But it's so, you can see how much it means to both of them, and they were so happy, so overjoyed at it. But I think it's not until you actually do it and you look back at it and you think, that was a massive result, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it? I don't give it as much sort of value during the game, or maybe for the few hours afterwards.
It's probably good. Yeah, it's probably good you don't. But
don't think about it too much. But then, like, sitting here today, a day afterwards, you go, that's a massive result.
It transcends football, because, like, Everyone's in the documentary. Yeah. We were at Wrexham all those years ago.
18 years
and
ago.
And actually 18 to, years ago to that date.
To that date.
Which is to insane. That date, you won the LDV fans yeah. with Vans with Wrexham.
Yeah.
But it does transcend football because they've been out the league for
15 years
a long
now.
Time. Yeah. And like we live down the road from Coventry, right?
Yeah.
And like if Coventry got back in the Premier League
oh,
or
yeah.
Wrexham, go, yeah. like what it does to the city,
yeah, city yeah.
and
massive,
the
yeah.
town with yeah. Wrexham is massive.
The community,
we spoke about it earlier, didn't we? Because we did a podcast with Nick Pope in Newcastle and it's the same sort of thing. If you live in Newcastle, you're a Newcastle fan. If yeah. you live in Wrexham, you're a Wrexham fan. It's yeah. as simple as that. You won't see any other football shirt around Wrexham than a Wrexham shirt.
Or in LA.
You won't. yeah, honestly, yeah, true. I know, yeah. Mate, the amount of Canadian fans we get over and American fans that's we ridiculous. Get over, by the way, that come to our games, phenomenal. But yeah, my phone after the game was just, I've never seen anything like it. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. It was on fire. I am getting messages like I've never had messages. Like I said, I must have had... Just WhatsApps alone, probably 150 individual WhatsApps that you have to go and get back to. Oh, thank you so much. Thank
but
you so much.
This is what I mean about the game being so big.
Yeah.
And you've played in the fucking Premier League for 15 years.
This was
20 years.
National League yeah. on a Monday afternoon.
Everyone was watching it.
That many people
were
watching
it. If you
won
the FA Cup with Watford, you probably wouldn't have got as many messages.
No chance.
You,
nowhere is, near that. Which is I insane. Promise you. Yeah. So
it's four games to the end of the season. You haven't even finished the season.
Exactly
yet.
That. And it's awesome. And it was that big, and people know how much it meant to everybody. Yes, like some of the DMs I'm getting, I think, like Blake Lively's like Ryan Reynolds' wife tagging me in like Instagram posts and stuff like that.
But so that I was a scratch your eyes moment.
Yeah, so I've got like my daughter, my nieces, my girl parts of the family are like, oh my God, Blake Lively's messaging you. And I'm like, oh no, how cool is this? This is pretty
yeah,
sick,
yeah,
isn't
my
it?
My wife yeah. was buzzing over that as well.
Yeah, it's yeah, nice, though, isn't it? But yeah. like that, they're all involved. Like, do you know what I mean? For her, she's in it as much as Ryan and Rob of yeah. what they're into
and,
it.
And everyone, like you said, Tom, it's like association, isn't it? Like we've got a vested interest, but then our partners, like, you know my mum, you know Kaza, don't yeah. you? Bless her. So yeah, like my mum, for example, anyone associated with you, like has got a vested interest, like your Mrs. Tom, my Mrs., all family, like, you know my mum, you've known my mum for years, Ben.
Good old Kaza.
And yeah, Kaza's ringing me, going absolutely berserk. She listened to it on the radio. She has BT Sport.
Classic.
it's mum thing to do, isn't it? But just everyone's just completely buzzing. And like, I got home and like, I was traveling home and like just texting people and stuff like that. And I texted you that night and like got home, had something to eat, and then it kind of dawns on you at the moment. And I text you, I hope you don't mind, but
no, it's nice, mate.
We're gonna pop it on screen now. And yeah. I was like, I'm so fucking proud of you.
And, yeah, it's nice, and that,
like,
mate. Yeah.
And you said to me, we'll put it on screen now. That it's so authentic. You were like, I'm not sure I've felt anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's true though, mate. It's just how it means so much to him, I think. If you go to a Wrexham game, you will instantly become a Wrexham fan. It's yeah. as simple as that because of how much it means to them and how much they give it. Yeah, I've never felt anything like that, honestly. For a non-league team, jeez, it just blows my mind. It really, really does. They warm to, like, what's the word? They show you love, basically. Yeah, they do that. They show you so much love and you feel the love from everybody. It's such a lovely club.
But four games left.
Yep. Four big games left, lads. Mm. Four big games left now. And if anything, every one of them has to be treated like it was on Monday because we've seen on the Friday before what can happen in this yep. league. We got turned over away at Halifax. We can't let that happen again. We need to go out and just bash every single game now. Four more big ones to come.
Yeah, we've got, so it's Barnet away,
yep.
Yeovil at home, Boreham Wood at home,
and then Torquay away,
final yeah. game of the
final
season.
Final game of the season. Hopefully it don't come down to that. We've already won the first three games. If we win the first three, we've won it. We've won the league. It's as simple as that.
Torquay, go to the amusements, 2p machines.
There you go,
celebrate.
Boom. Yeah. We can have like a proper away days. That would be a proper away days. But I know we spoke a lot about Wrexham. Big shout out to Notts County as well, because yeah. Yeah, they are a fantastic football club. The way the football they played, the fans were fantastic as well.
Yeah, and just
absolutely fantastic.
Also, just a big one. Thank you. Everyone in the media team at Wrexham
they're proper,
have been brilliant
they?
With this. BT.
Yeah.
I've been BT, Ben.
Fantastic.
Tell us about them.
So yeah, BT, they basically allowed us to
use a bit of footage.
Yeah, use a bit of footage, content. They're happy to send us footage, aren't they? There's a guy that's been sending you like behind the goal shots of stuff for the match day vlogs. They've basically bent over backwards to help us and accommodate us. So things like that is what makes you go, yeah, this is proper enjoyable football, this is, isn't it? Where there's not the big wigs involved that go, no, you can't do that because it's against the rules, or there's this getting involved and copyright and this and that. They just want it out there.
It's the way it should be.
This is the way it should be. I totally agree. Lads, that was class. I'm buzzing. I've got a nice warm feeling inside me now. I've got another day off tomorrow. I'm back in on Thursday to see the lads. Bring on Barnett on Saturday.
Well done, Nozza.
Well done, Nozza.
Well done, Fozza. Pleasure.
Nozza, Fozza.
Tozza?
Right, on the Fozcast, you legends.
On the Fozcast.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.